Welcome to Inside the Pages, insights from today's most compelling authors. I'm your host, Chris McGregor, and I'm delighted to be joined by Jeff Cavins, who is the director of the Archbishop Henry J. Flynn Catechetical Institute based in St. Paul, Minnesota. Over the past several years, Jeff has dedicated his life to developing The Great Adventure, the extremely useful and practical interactive Bible study system that enables students to understand chronological flow of Scripture. At the Catholic Marketing Network Conference in Philadelphia, I had the opportunity to talk to Jeff Cavins about his book, Walking with God, A Journey Through the Bible, co-authored with Dr. Tim Gray and published by Ascension Press. Welcome, Jeff.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
It is very good as well to have Walking with God, A Journey Through the Bible, in my hands, a book that I'm sure so many have been waiting for because of the great work that you've done with Tim Gray.
Well, we've been working on this book, thank you, and we've been working on this book for about 5 years now in trying to put this together, and it's a complement to the Great Adventure Bible Study System, which many of you listening, I'm sure, are aware of, where we take the entire Bible, the whole story, and we make what is very complex for many people simple. And when people pick up the Bible, they expect to read Genesis to Revelation and then sit back and say, wow, is that a great story? But they don't. They typically kind of quit right around Leviticus because they've lost the narrative thread of the story. So our Great Adventure system breaks down the Bible into 12 periods, and then out of the 73 books, we choose 14 that are narrative in approach. That means that they keep the story moving, and by the time they're done with these 14 books, they'll know basically the storyline, all the major characters and all the major events. So what we did with Walking with God is we followed that pattern and went through the Bible in chronological order, telling the story, but we went deeper with the theological underpinnings and archaeology and some of the historical backgrounds that we don't always get across in the Bible studies.
When you talk about going deeper, that's something that when we enter into God's Word, it's something, there is no bottom, is there?
There really isn't. It's like an onion with multiple layers. Once we know the basic story of salvation history, then we want to look at what the Catechism calls the spiritual senses. And that is, how does this relate to Jesus Christ? Whether we're in Proverbs or 1 Samuel or one of the prophets, how does this relate to Jesus Christ? Second of all, how does it relate to my life and my behavior, how I live my life? And then number three, how does this relate, whether it's Proverbs, Samuel, whatever, to the future? And that's the spiritual sense of the Bible. In the Bible timeline, we give the literal, and that is the intended meaning of the author. But then we need to dig deeper. Walking with God helps you dig deeper. It helps you peel back some of those layers to the onion to see a multidimensional, complex layering that God has in His Word. And as you said, it just gets deeper and deeper. And I've never met anybody, including myself, who has tapped all the meaning.
You're a master storyteller. You know a good story. You've read it, lived it, and you pass it on. And that's how Scripture is a living word, isn't it?
Yeah, the whole story of Scripture is a story. Everybody's looking for a plan in their life today, and that's evidenced by the number of talk shows on television. You have Oprah, you have Ellen, you have Dr. Phil, you have Tony Robbins, you have self-help books, infomercials in the middle of the night. The world knows that people are looking for a plan, and they are willing to offer plans. The Catechism says in the very first paragraph that God has a plan of sheer goodness, and that plan is laid out in salvation history in the Scripture. So, you know, our job as teachers is to teach that plan as it is, a story. It's the true story of the world, the true story of the universe. It is our true story, where we understand who God is and who we are and what our relationship is to God in this cosmic drama. And so when we teach the Bible, we're not teaching a whole group of unrelated truths. We are teaching His story, and it's a story, it's the only story in the world where the author enters the story and shows us how to live. And that's exciting.
That moment when God punches in through salvation history and becomes a part of how do I want to say this, the human dimension so concretely in that incarnation. It is vital then to have that Old Testament background as well as the continuation into the New Testament.
If you really want to know the work of Jesus and understand it and make the connections, it's necessary to know the Old Testament. You can know something of Jesus just reading the New Testament, but in order to understand really the why that he came and what he came to fulfill, it is necessary to know the Old Testament. St. Augustine once spoke about how the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed, and the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. And it's Christ who came at the end of this period of the Old Testament, where God was revealed piecemeal, a little bit at a time, where Jesus comes on the scene and he completely reveals the Father and gives us a total look at the Father and an example of how to live. So it is really important for us as Catholics to know the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures, and in our Bible studies we spend a considerable amount of time laying that foundation, and many Catholics tell us for the first time that, I got it. I thought these were just kind of stories, but I see how this all fits into like a mosaic. And when we stand back and look at this incredible book, the Bible, we see something beautiful, and that Christ is the fulfillment of all that has gone before him.
The order in which you've chosen in the book is not the order of the Old Testament. Some may take issue with that.
The order of the Old Testament is an order that was put together in Jewish tradition. In the Jewish tradition, the Hebrew Scriptures are called the Tanakh. The Tanakh is an acronym for three words: the Torah, which is the five books of Moses, the Nevi'im, which is the prophets, and the Ketuvim, which is the writings. So you have the Torah, Nevi'im, Ketuvim, Tanakh, and that's the Hebrew Scriptures. These are ordered not in chronological order, but by types of writing. And it's almost assumed that you would know the history. It's kind of like taking American history and you're writing a book on American history, and rather than telling it all in absolutely chronological order, you put it together by politics, sports, culture, and you're looking at all three aspects. It's assumed that you know our history and that we don't have to spell that out for you exactly, but as you can see today in modern America, that assumption is a bad assumption, because we don't know that history. We have to be taught the history. Mm-hmm. And once people learn that history of salvation history, a lot of people will say, well, I've arrived, I know it. But that's the starting point. So congratulations, you know the history. Now we got to go deeper. We got to learn it deeper, and we got to put it into practice in our lives. We got to put God's word into our practice, because if we just know the story, but we don't do it, then we deceive ourselves, as James says.
That joy that I see on their faces, because that story becomes alive for them, and that's the beauty of the type of scripture study that you do. There has been scripture study that's been done that's been more like a dissection of scripture, and that's been very damaging to the faith life of many people.
Yeah, making the story personal is our objective, that it isn't just God's story or the story, but it's your story. And God came to earth 2,000 years ago to reveal himself in a way that can be understood, can be appropriated in daily life. And this is one of the things that we struggle with as human beings, is that being created in the image and likeness of God is very powerful. Very powerful. It means that we have an intellect, reason. We can reason. We also have a will. We can act on that reason. But there's another aspect to being like God that I think is interesting and worth addressing, and that is that God lives outside of time. He's not bound by time. And so he's in the yesterday, he's in the tomorrow, he's in eternity. But in a sense, we are too. We're the only creatures that can project into the future, and that we can dwell in the future in our thinking. Likewise, we can dwell in the past. And what happens is that the past locks us up. Sometimes we are shamed by our past. We are competing with our past, and we might be competing with the future, or we're frightened and paralyzed by the future. Consequently, we don't do anything about the one thing we can do something about, and that's today. And so Jesus, who is outside of time, came into the present to show us how to live. He showed us how to live. And he was the successful son who is faithful to his father. And in walking with God, we try to show how he is the fulfillment of what it means to be a human being and what it means to have a relationship with the Father. And that is personal. At the same time, it's corporate too. I mean, we are a family, we're a church, but it is a very personal story that should change your life personally. Not just your views, but it should change every aspect of your life. Your marriage, being a father and a mother, the way you spend your money, the way you spend your time, your emotions, all of it. And that's really what we, one of the things we wanted to get across in the book, is that this story is your story.
We now go inside the pages for a special excerpt from Walking with God, A Journey Through the Bible, written by Jeff Cavins and Dr. Tim Gray. Introduction, Finding Scripture's Story. Toward the end of his gospel, St. Luke recounts the greatest Bible study ever held. Jesus joins two disciples as they travel the road to Emmaus. In response to their despair over the events of Good Friday, Jesus says, "O foolish men, and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" Luke chapter 24, verses 25-26. In the midst of the tragic events and details of the previous days, these disciples had lost sight of all that God was doing in his story of Scripture, and as a result, they also lost sight of the narrative thread to their own lives and were filled with sorrow and despair. In response, Jesus takes the disciples back through Scripture's story, showing them God's wonderful design and purpose. When Jesus wanted to teach these disciples the very meaning of who he was and make sense of the events of life, he opened up for them Scripture's plot, the big picture that weaves together all the individual events and details. The disciples saw the whole breathtaking view of Scripture's story and how it led to Christ. It set their hearts on fire and changed their lives. Their sorrow was turned to joy, and they raced back to Jerusalem. Our Father invites each of us to become immersed in the story of his word, which includes great deeds, adventure, love, betrayal, sacrifice, miracles, and much more. In the Scriptures, we learn about faith in the Lord by seeing it lived out by Abraham. We learn about obedience when Joshua follows great directions for defeating Jericho instead of rushing in with his army. We learn about courage when David goes up against the giant warrior Goliath. We learn about trust in the Lord when Mary gives her yes to God's plan. We learn about self-sacrificial love when Jesus gives his life on the cross for our salvation. But most importantly, though, the Scriptures give us a story in which we can meet God himself, come to know his infinite love for each of us, and respond to his invitation to enter into the epic tale. We've been listening to an excerpt from Walking with God, A Journey Through the Bible. We now return to our discussion with Jeff Cavins.
It's more than a Bible study, then. It's really a Bible relationship.
Well, it is. It's a love letter written by God, and that's what the church fathers would call the Bible, a love letter written by God for you so that you can come to know him in an intimate way, in a bridal, spousal relationship, the bridegroom and the bride. So it isn't a cosmic puzzle. It's not some encoded game, you know, that God is presenting to us. He has plainly revealed himself to us in His Son, so that we can go beyond studies, you know, into reality, into daily living. And I'm interested in Bible studies, but you know what? I got a life to live, and I only have so many years here on earth. And my goal, as is the goal for all of us, is the beatific vision, to live with God forever and ever and ever. And we've only got a few years here on earth. Jesus came and showed us how to live these few years.
We're talking with Jeff Cavins about his new book, Walking with God, A Journey Through the Bible, co-authored with Dr. Tim Gray. Jeff, over the years that you've been presenting Scripture study, have you noticed anything different in the reception of Scripture by the faithful?
I have. When we first started putting together these studies about 15 years ago, there just wasn't much out there at the time. And in the last 15 years, we've seen a number of really good studies develop with my friend Scott Hahn and Steve Ray and others. And it's coming to the point now where wherever you go, you are running into people who have been through the great adventure. It's hard to run into a seminarian, for example, these days, who hasn't been through the great adventure. And they're taking away with them a sense of, I know the story. And I know how valuable that is because, you know, I used to be a Protestant pastor. And even as a Protestant pastor, I didn't know many pastors who knew the whole story. They knew parts of it, but they couldn't articulate the whole story. And so what we're seeing now is a whole generation of Catholics, and I don't want to overstate that. We still have a lot of work to do. You know, there's most that have not heard, but the ones that have heard are coming to a place where they're able to articulate God's story to other people, the plan of sheer goodness. And I'll have to tell you, it's very satisfying to... The other day, I live in Minneapolis, and I was walking into the Mall of America, and I was on the phone with someone, and this guy walks up next to me and kind of pulls my shirt, and he goes, "Hey, Jeff." I don't know who this guy is. He says, "Hey, Jeff." He said, "Love the story, the great adventure," and just walked on. I thought, this is what we want. You know, where God's story is being taught, it's being talked about, and people are passing it on. And that is satisfying. It really is. And there's a lot of things I can't do, but this is what God gave me to do, and I hope to do this till my last breath.
Yeah, but too, Jeff, is that in so many cases, it leads through another portal, and what I mean by that is it goes through the doors of a church and leads you to the Eucharist. Everything that in the Scripture, especially in the journey that you lead us on, always points us ultimately back into that great gift of grace, the sacraments.
Well, that's true, and there's a reason for it. All Scripture, whether it's the Old Testament, the New Testament, all Scripture is, the Church teaches us, Christocentric. In other words, if everything in the Bible finds its fulfillment in Jesus Christ, and that's the first part of the spiritual sense, and that is, how does the Bible relate to Jesus Christ? How is He fulfilling that? Well, if the whole Bible points to Jesus, and the sacrament, the Blessed Sacrament, Eucharist, is the real presence of Christ, Bible study should lead you to that. It should lead you to the real presence of Christ, since it's all Christocentric. And that is the epitome of our faith. That's the zenith of our faith, the Eucharist. And you're right. And in Luke chapter 24, when a couple of guys were walking away from Jerusalem on the Emmaus Road, Jesus came alongside of them, and He began to teach them everything about Himself, how He had to suffer, die, and rise from the dead, from the law and the prophets. And it wasn't until He broke the bread, Eucharist, on that walk, that their eyes were opened. And so you're right, Bible study should always be pursued keeping the sacraments in mind, because that's how Christ comes to us today, and that's why the Mass is the liturgy of the Word and the liturgy of the Eucharist. And we hear, we listen to Him, we respond, and we commune with Him, and our eyes are opened. So I can tell you, for years I studied the Bible without the sacraments. Was it good? Yeah, it was good. Good studies. Gave me a lot of insight and skills for daily living. I came to know Christ in a new way, but nothing compared to the sacraments. That encounter with Jesus Christ is so powerful, especially with a foundation of Scripture behind us. Very, very powerful. And that's one of the things we're hearing from people over and over and over, is that as a result of the Bible studies, The Great Adventure, and we hope to hear it with Walking with God, the new book, that people are saying, I've never participated in the sacraments to this degree. And I'm going to confession more, I'm going to Mass more, a holy hour more. My marriage is really changed, as a result of this. That's the fruit. That's what we want to hear.
It helps us when we go through Scripture to realize our identity. And in knowing who we are, it gives us a wholeness.
Mm-hmm. Well, the world, that's what kind of what where we started in our discussion earlier with the world looking for a plan. Looking for a plan is very similar to looking for identity. Who am I? And one man said that one of the greatest problems facing the youth of today is that they have lost the narrative thread of their lives. They don't know who they are. They don't know where they came from, who they are, or where they're going. And there's a lot of places to look in the world. As I mentioned, Oprah has a plan for your life. Dr. Phil has a plan for your life. The problem with those plans, there may be some good things, but the problem is that that's not ultimately who you were called to be as a son or daughter of God. But one of the biggest problems is their plans do not possess the power to overcome the problem in our life. And it's the grace of God that fuels us. The power of the Holy Spirit empowers us to become who we are destined to be, sons and daughters of God. So this is a plan with power rather than just a great idea for changing some things in your life. It's a complete plan.
This book, Walking with God, is a journey through the Bible, is called to be an accompaniment and also a standalone with the Great Adventure series.
It is. You pick up Walking with God, and you'll see that it's a complete book in itself, telling the entire story. And then if you go through, it's meant to complement the Bible timeline. The Bible timeline will give you all the information, too. And this gives you all of the information in maybe a little bit deeper way. There's a few more of the, theological connections, and gives you a little bit more of the historical background in this amazing story.
How many Great Adventure sections do you have right now?
Well, we've got the main one, which is the Bible timeline, 24 weeks through the entire Bible, and we also have an 8-part quick journey through the entire Bible. And then we go on to Matthew, 24 weeks of Matthew. The whole Bible is Christocentric, so we start with the whole Bible, then we go to Matthew, the king and his kingdom, then Acts, which is a 20-week study, the spread of the kingdom, and then we have a number of studies that people can choose after that. We have Exodus and 1 Corinthians, we have Revelations, we have James, Psalms is our latest one, where Dr. Tim Gray and I teach together with Sarah Chrismeyer, and we present the Psalms as a kind of a school of prayer. And so those are the studies that we have at this point, and we are continuing all the time with our team to develop more studies in the future. Good news is if you start now in your parish, we're ahead of you, and we will try to stay ahead of you. We also have great leadership training at our website, greatadventureonline.com. And we've got leaders all over the country that we are in a relationship with to nurture them and help them in their own experience with growing in Christ, as well as their own experience in putting on Bible studies at the parish level. We've put on altogether, I think we have over 6,000 groups that have done studies in the United States, and currently over 3,000 churches that are using the Great Adventure system. So it's traveled far and wide, and it's continuing to grow, and we couldn't be happier.
It is exciting with our Holy Father recently imploring us to venture out into the digital sea, that it seems as though you've already taken the lead on that, making the opportunity for people to go online and to be able to access even more material.
Well, we have support material online. We do material that will help you in putting on your study, marketing your study in your local area, tips for developing core teams and facilitators for the small groups. We also have a whole leaders network online, too, that we invite our leaders to. And on there we have leaders helping leaders, and we have posts on tips for overcoming obstacles in your study. I put on videos regularly to help the leaders across the country just grow in their own faith and encourage the leaders. You know, these people that are helping us grow these Bible studies around the country are making a sacrifice. They can also be targeted by the enemy because they're trying to do something good. We just want them to know that you're not alone and that we appreciate you, and we want to be a part of your ongoing growth in Christ.
That's great. It sounds like, again, that you're not isolated. You may be in a locale that's far removed from a major metropolitan area or even from a parish. There might be a great divide between the parishes wherever you're at, but here's the opportunity to be able to enter into a thorough study of our story.
Mm-hmm. It's true. No, you know, we have, of course, many studies in the United States, but we also have studies in Ethiopia, Nigeria, the Far East, the Middle East, in Israel, and we have studies all over Europe, Australia, New Zealand, and you're right. Through the kind of the modern miracle of the internet, Catholics around the world can participate in these studies. God gave us the technology, and we're taking advantage of it and using it for His glory.
Well, the story continues then, doesn't it?
It does. It does. Continues in me, and it continues in you, and all of our good listeners.
That's great. We've been talking with Jeff Cavins, Walking with God, A Journey Through the Bible, co-written with Tim Gray. Jeff, any final thoughts?
Well, I just encourage people to jump in. If you've never studied the Bible before, or you think, well, I don't know if I could study, it's been a while since I've been in college, don't worry about it. The Great Adventure takes everybody, even if you've never even opened up the Bible before. We take you at that point, bring you along on this adventure, and introduce you to Christ through the Scriptures. And I haven't run into anybody yet that cannot get it and put this God's Word into practice in their life. And we wrote the book, Walking with God, at a level where teens and adults alike will be able to grasp the material.
Thank you so much for everything you do, Jeff Cavins.
Well, thank you very much, and you keep up the good work, too.
We've been going inside the pages of Jeff Cavins' book, Walking with God, A Journey Through the Bible, co-authored with Dr. Tim Gray. Jeff's book can be found at ascensionpress.com or at any fine Catholic bookstore. To hear and download this discussion along with many others, please visit www.insidethepages.com. I'm Chris McGregor. Join me next time for Inside the Pages, insights from today's most compelling authors.